Good morning, church. The reading today is going to be from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 38. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to be offered a sacrifice in keeping with what it said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolidation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. I'll just quickly pray for David. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you that it is the truth, Lord. Lord, that it says in your word that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And thank you that this part of the reading that we've just heard is only the very beginning, Lord, of how you not only saved your people Israel, but you also saved us, the Gentiles. And I just pray that as David speaks, Lord, would you encourage him? Would you use him mightily, Lord? And may we have open hearts and minds to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Matty, and welcome everyone, those here in the building and those watching online. Hope you've had a great Christmas and, excited about all that God is able to do in the year ahead. I wonder if you ever kind of think what happened kind of after the Christmas story. You know, we have all the build-up and we have all the kind of cards and carols that talk about the, you know, the events of that first Christmas. But actually the story we're looking at and has just been read for us happened 8 days after Christmas. So work it out. We're 6 days after Christmas. So that's like next Tuesday. And actually this 8 days after Christmas was a kind of a key kind of next chapter in the life of Jesus and for Mary and Joseph. This was a really significant moment for them. They were going to the temple, to the house of God, a bit like kind of we've done today. We've come to gather and to worship. They would have entered his gates with thanksgiving. as was tradition, as people went up to the temple, they would have come into his courts with praise, which is what people were encouraged to do. There was a kind of process of purification, particularly for Mary after childbirth, and the kind of Old Testament law in Exodus and Leviticus kind of highlighted that. There were even kind of offerings that they were meant to bring, and the offering that's mentioned here was one that actually was for those who couldn't afford a lamb. They were the offering for the poorer people. Here was Mary and Joseph, this poor couple, come to bring their son, their firstborn, to dedicate him to the Lord, to have him circumcised, to come and name him. And what was the name they were to call him? Jesus. Did you notice that in verse 21? They were to call him Jesus, the name the angels had given him before he was conceived. The name the angel had told Mary, you must call him Jesus. And as we said on Christmas Day, had also told to Joseph, you must call him Jesus. And this promise of the angels that the child was going to come, this thing that probably seemed inconceivable to both Mary and Joseph, God had been faithful to his promise. And here they are with their little child, a bit like little baby Lucas, maybe even smaller. And they're bringing this child, this one, to name him Jesus. As we spoke about on Christmas Day, the name Jesus means Savior, or God saves. God saves. And I just want to say, whatever year you've had, you are not saved by how well your 2023 has gone or not gone. And whatever great resolutions you might be coming up with, and discipline and habits are important and they can make a difference in your life, but let me assure you, you will not be saved by whatever resolutions you make for 2024. It is Jesus who alone saves. And the Savior has come. God has been faithful to his promises. And we know that as we've been reading and journeying through the story in Luke's gospel and reading some of the Advent accounts over these recent weeks. And the writer Luke knows that. And if you've been reading these passages, you know that this Savior has come. But there are two people in this story who don't know it yet. And they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I want us to think this morning about these two characters and how they interact with this family who've arrived at the temple to worship. They are Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna, two wonderful characters. We're quite an intergenerational church. It's one of the things I love about this church. And this is quite an intergenerational passage. You've got this young couple with a baby who encounter these ones in the more senior stages of life, who have such significant words for them that Mary almost certainly remembered them and passed them on to Luke as he went through, as Mary went through her life, remembering this moment, this day. And I want to just say, people talk about Simeon and Anna all across the world today, 2,000 years later, because of something they said and did one day when people gathered in the temple to worship God. What might, even before 2024 comes, God want to do through you and I today, even at this gathering, as we speak and go led of him and move towards others in love? Maybe during this service, as Dan said a bit later, as we maybe share testimony, maybe after the service, maybe later today, even in this day, might God want to do something through you and I more than we could imagine. Just like he did through Simeon and Anna, that's had ripples of blessing. But actually, Simeon and Anna would be the first to tell you this story is not about them. It's not about what they did. This story is about them realizing something that God has done that gave them overflow, both of them, cause to thank God as they look back and to move forward with confidence into the future. It's interesting that here in this story, we have both Simeon and Anna speaking, a man and a woman speaking into this family's life. And one of the things that I was hoping today was that myself and Olivia were going to both be kind of speaking about this passage to you. And unfortunately, Olivia's got COVID, so she's very kindly sent me her notes because she's not able to be here, so I'm doing a bit of both. But I will try, as well as kind of put in my own words some of the things that she was going to say, I might also sometimes just even share with you some of the really helpful quotes things that she's written about this passage that I think will be a blessing to us. So we're going to look firstly, as we think about this theme of God's faithful, God is faithful so we can look back with thankfulness. Can you say that with me? God is faithful so we can look back with thankfulness. And we're going to think about this character, Simeon, and how he helps us with that. So look with me what it says about this character, Simeon. He's been waiting, as had Anna. They'd been waiting and waiting for God to show up, wanting to see God move in their generation, in their time, in their lives. God, will you come and do the things you've promised? Maybe sometimes you come to a service like this, or even go into the new year and think, God, I long for you to show up. I long, God, that you would do more than we maybe have yet even seen. God, in our church, in our city, in our nation, God, would you stir again a great awakening like you've done in years past? Would you move in revival power? May things in our city, in our nation, in our world not stay as they are. Amen? God, we're longing for you to do more. And it says that Simeon, we read in verse 25, he was a righteous, a kind of good, devout man, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This kind of consolation, the sense that something was not right. There was a need for God's comfort, God's presence, God's kind of restoring. In fact, the Messiah that people were longing for, the Christ who was promised, the King who was going to come and deliver, was sometimes called the Comforter or the Counselor, the kind of one who was going to come and console. And in that is this sense that Simeon and others around him, they knew that all was not right with the world. They were longing for God to do something more. There was even a grief that needed God's comfort as they looked at the world and at their situation. And maybe as you and I come into the end of this year and the beginning of next, we look in our world, even in our lives, our family, our situations, and maybe there too is a sense of all is not right. God, as we look back and we want to give thanks for your faithfulness, we also just recognize, God, that there's so much brokenness. And Simeon was aware of that. But this was a man who, in amidst that brokenness, that place of, in his own nation, such oppression and difficulty, yet here was a man who knew what it was to be filled with the Spirit and moved and led by the Spirit. In fact, Simeon's name means, this really I found struck me, Simeon's name means hearkening, to listen, to give respectful attention. And it's like we see in this story, Simeon is doing just that. He's hearkening, he's paying respectful attention to the promptings of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, today, as you go into the year, may you and I be respectful, attentive to the promptings of this amazing gift of God's Spirit. That we'd be led of him, able like Simeon to say, oh yeah, I just think I need to go and speak to this person. In that, trusting that we might have a word in season that might be greatly encouraging to them. I love this picture, John, of you just coming in with Lucas. It's just so special. It feels so apt. It really is. As we come in. So Simeon moves towards the couple. And one of the things that we read of Simeon doing, look with me here. It says, verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him into his arms. I mean, this is amazing. There is no one else other than, we assume, Mary and Joseph, who's actually... It's talked about in the Christmas story that they took Jesus into his arms. You know, I know that one of the joys for me in the nativity experience we had a couple of weeks back here was there was different dramas going on you could visit. But I had the joy through some of that evening of carrying little baby Lucas around. And it felt like it was such a nativity experience to just be holding this newborn and thinking, God, you became a baby. And there was something that Simeon did when he saw Jesus. He thought, this is the one who's fulfilled God's promises. This is how he kind of starts his amazing song of praise, which many churches sing this every Sunday in their kind of part of their service. It's sometimes called the Nunc Dimittis. And it starts like this. It says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. Because God, you're faithful to your promises. And so this one, Simeon, he took this child in his arms, as it were, to hold on and think, this is amazing, to marvel. And maybe you've gone through this whole Christmas time, and you've not, as it were, yet, really kind of taken hold of Jesus and brought him up close and gone, wow. Wow. Everything is going to be okay with the world because Jesus has come. 2024 and 5 and 6 and 7 and however many more years until Christ returns, it's gonna be okay because Jesus has come. And I've found this little picture of Simeon saying, as you have promised, now you may dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. It's like Simeon goes, you know what, I'm content, it's enough, I've seen even just a baby Jesus, not what he's growing up to be, not seeing him even die and rise again, I've just seen him born, and I know this is the Messiah, and I know my eyes have seen it, I've held this baby, and I'm good to go. I can leave this world, and I've been thinking, you know, I can leave 2023, I've seen Jesus has come into our world, it is going to be good, I'm at peace. Brothers and sisters, as you look back, maybe above all, look back thankful that you know the Savior has come. And if maybe you've come and you're just visiting today or watching online and you haven't heard that, it's amazing news that's been spreading across the whole world this Christmas time. The Savior, Jesus Christ, has come. And Zechariah, quoting these amazing servant songs of Isaiah, says kind of, you know, my eyes have seen the one, your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. God did something in a particular place, in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, in that land of Israel, in the people that he were his kind of covenant people. But he did something in there that wasn't just for them. In fact, some of them even rejected it, as we were thinking on Christmas Day. But he was doing something there for everyone everywhere. Doing something there that was going to be for people in Brighton in 2024. Doing something there that was going to be for people in Gaza. Doing something there that was going to be for people in Russia. Doing something there that was going to be for people everywhere in all time. This Savior had come. You see, God was faithful to Simeon. He'd said, look, you're going to see it. And God had kept his promise. But God had kept his promise not just to Simeon, but to the people, his people, that he would send a deliverer. He'd kept his promise because God is faithful. God had kept his promise to the world. Even after Adam and Eve sinned and in the garden, God spoke of a one who was going to crush the serpent's head, who was going to destroy the work of the enemy. One of the offspring of the woman. And God had kept his promise because he's a faithful God. And so I want to ask this morning, how, as you look back, are you able to see, yeah, God's been faithful? What testimony do you have that is like, yeah, yeah, actually, maybe this was the year you came to see and know Jesus. Maybe this was a year where you went into it with a bit of trepidation. Maybe something was happening, but you knew God's presence through that. You know, God promised, didn't he, that he was going to be with us. Maybe you've known God's provision. Maybe your testimony is not just something for you. Maybe it's something for us as a church, just as Dan was doing. Maybe you were thinking of other things and thought, yeah. Or maybe you thought of one of those moments like Dale's down and you thought, yeah, I just not that we went. I have a testimony of God's presence in that time. And so I want to just give us a couple of moments before I move on to my second and maybe a bit briefer point. So just think about how we've seen God fulfill his promises to us in this past year. And maybe, Jamie, you could play, I love that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, morning by morning, new mercies. We've seen all he's needed, all we've needed, his hands provided. That hymn is like the guy who wrote it, his testimony. And so I wonder if we could just take a few moments, just be still while Jamie's playing. Holy Spirit, would you come and remind us of your faithfulness? Would you come and cause us to come with thanksgiving, even as we look back on this year? Jamie continues to play, you might want to just keep reflecting, but God might already be stirring something in you that you just want to, just in 30 seconds or certainly less than a minute, just say, yeah, I just want to say God's been faithful in this way. And if that's you, I wonder if you could just come up. We've got a couple of microphones here. If you can come over this side, round to Dan over here, and I'll be over here. And we can just do a bit of a tag team, so just brief time. So if you feel able, why don't we all stand? Then if you feel led, you're able to just easily squeeze past the people around you. So just as we are in this attitude of praise, if there's anything that you want to just come and share. Maybe Dan, you could just come over here and I'll come over here. So. Anybody, a little testimony how God's been faithful to you. Thanks, Greg, do come on forward.
Hi, everybody. I just want to thank the Lord for so much he's done for me and my family, particularly in this year, which has been very hard, through health, through bringing together family, correcting things that have been difficult. So, yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for being with me, guiding me and loving me unremittedly. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Amen. Amen.
In January, I had a cancer diagnosis. It was the 19th of January, and I said to the surgeon, I said, I've got a wedding to go to. I can't have cancer. And it was my daughter's wedding in Zimbabwe, and I had chemo, an operation, and about 6 months later, I was on the plane to Zimbabwe. We had a wonderful wedding. I'm back at work, and God has miraculously healed me. So I really want to give him all the praise and thanks.
Do keep coming on that side too, if you want to take.
Just when David was talking about holding baby Luke, and though that phrase, I was there, also reminds me of Max Boyce, I was there. And then hearing all the wind around. And again, that's in one sense been part of my life this year, the wind and the storms. And again with my cancer diagnosis. God has been faithful. I had to stop work. I had to stop this. I had to stop that. I had everything just went. But God didn't. And he was the one that kept me going. And to all of you who are praying as well, faithfully, encouraging, coming along to appointments, thank you. But yeah, now I'm in remission and look forward to what God has for me this year.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, just as we stopped and were kind of pondering there, came back to my mind. I made a trip up to the Midlands back at the end of July, and it's connected with this kind of top I'm wearing to a degree, something called Through Faith Missions. And I slept on a church hall floor up there in a place not far from Birmingham, not far from Wolverhampton in the Midlands, but a very rural place called Highley. And one of the ways God was faithful was that they had a group of women who gather in that particular church hall, and they used some rubber mats. So me and one of the other guys were able to borrow their rubber mats, which made the floor a bit softer, so thankful for that. But one of the things we did while we were there was calling round door to door with what we call a personal belief survey, where we just ask people, you know, if they do believe in anything, believe in God or whatever. It's got several questions, you go through it. But one day, me and a lady who is kind of French by nationality but lived in England for 20-odd years, me and her were kind of asked to kind of step aside from the door to door and go and visit a particular man who he's youngish, I don't know how old, maybe in his 40s, maybe even a bit younger than that. But he works in schools up there, and some of you will know I work as a cleaner in a secondary school. It's very frustrating thing, because these days, obviously, in a school, there's nothing of the Christian message really shared in the state schools. But this guy, he was a worker in the schools. He sung over the Church of England, something like that. But he'd actually been given a cancer diagnosis, now I think a form of leukemia. And because of his age, it was particularly kind of unhelpful, because basically the doctors were saying to him, look, we've got some treatments, but when we've done those treatments, we've then got kind of nothing for you. But he was somehow put in touch with something that was kind of revolutionary, a bit experimental. So he was something of a guinea pig. I think it's saying it came from the USA. And so he was, you know, benefiting from this particular treatment, and he shared that testimony with me and this lady one afternoon while we were up there. So, yeah, God is faithful.
Amen. Thank you, Steve.
I don't have a sort of specific testimony, but God's really just compelled me to speak. I had a word when we were up at King's during the summer, that God was moving around amongst us. But I just felt this morning that I've been listening to something on the radio about an epidemic of loneliness in our world, in our country, and I just was looking at some of the empty chairs here today, and I just felt God saying, if you feel like you have an empty chair next to you, I am faithful. And I am there. And although it may feel like there's emptiness, it's not empty, because God is just with you. And I just really felt like that was something I needed to share this morning.
Thank you. Amen. Should we even just sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness? I don't know, Yan, if we've got the words for that, but many might know it. Don't worry if you don't. But yeah, let's just sing, and then we'll just continue on in our story. Thank you to all those who shared.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not.
for your faithfulness. It is very great. Lord, not just have we seen it in the past, not just have we seen it in your coming, Lord Jesus, that first Christmas, but Lord, you will always be faithful, and we can look forward now with faith. So help us, Lord, we pray, as we continue to look into this story. Thank you for every testimony. Thank you for those shared and those not yet shared. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who wants to draw alongside the lonely, as Helen was saying. Lord, for any here, any watching online, Lord, any that you might even want to send us to, even today, even in the year ahead, God, here we are. We look forward with faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, take your seats, everyone. So we're going to pick up the story in verse 34. As we now think, not just is God faithful so we can look back with thankfulness, but God is faithful so secondly that we can look forward with faith. And looking forward with faith doesn't mean looking forward and knowing that everything's going to be easy. Everything is not easy, even as we pick up the story again. Look what happens in verse 34 and 35. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that would be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There is so much in there that we could unpack. But I think what is plain is Simeon saying, look, God's going to do amazing things through this child. God's going to reveal thoughts. He knows our thoughts. God is going to lift up and bring down. But he also points to this thing that she's going to feel such pain. You know, there's something in us that those we love, we long to spare them from pain. And yet one of the things I've realized in my life and the lives of others is that the way of Jesus, the way of following the one who ultimately went to the cross, is that often his way is a way of pain and suffering. And one of the hard things is not just going through that ourselves, but seeing people we love go through that. Maybe you're already aware of difficulties. Maybe you're looking ahead to the year and thinking, I know that there are difficulties ahead. Well, I want to say we can look forward with faith even when we know those are there. God is looking to strengthen us for the path he has for us. I found one of the things that Olivia said so helpful in this moment. I just want to quote what she said. She said, imagine this moment for Mary. This combination of the marvel at what was said about Jesus and the indication of difficult times ahead. But coming up to them at this very moment is Anna. Seeing Mary at her time of need and drawing alongside her at exactly the moment is another woman who has lived through immense difficulty. Isn't that wonderful? That God had a tough word for Mary, a tough word even about the future, but God also had an Anna, a one to come alongside to bring faith and encouragement, one whose story was full of hardship. And it's been so encouraging to hear some of those sharing of difficulties they've gone through, and yet God has been faithful. And Anna, we have quite a bit that we know about her. This was probably not just a brief conversation. Anna was probably someone that Mary kind of got a bit of time with and found out a bit about her life. She was a prophetess, a prophet. In fact, in the story in the New Testament, she's the first prophet we encounter after all these years, 400 years of silence. And then we hear God at work. And, you know, this prophet Anna, she is one who has come from this kind of lineage of, of this kind of her Faniel, the kind of the one who was her dad. This word means face of God, and she was one who sought the face of God. She was one who had gone through real trials. She had been married just for 7 years, so probably at quite a young age. Maybe married for 7 years and into her 20s or early 30s, probably 20s. She then was widowed for 60 plus years. Wow. Widowed for longer, much, much longer than she'd been married. And in those days, losing a husband would have been one thing that led to some of the status as a wife, potential to be a mother, financial security, potentially even her home was at risk. But this woman, amazingly, we read this, and again, just want to read some of the words that Olivia has said. She says this: what could have propelled her away from God instead propels Anna towards him. Anna doesn't turn away from God in the midst of trouble. She turns towards him. And I want to say, as you think about the year ahead, as you go forward to it, looking with faith, learn from these testimonies. There may be hard things ahead for you and for those you love, but let them turn you not away from God, but towards God. I love, Teg, what you said about he just, lost this, lost this, lost this, lost this, but didn't lose God's presence. And I want to honor those in our congregation who this past year has really, as I've been reflecting back on the year, has had some really tough challenges of loss of loved one. John Miles, we remember Mandy today, now in glory, faced death with courage and peace because she knew her Savior. But we also honor you, brother. You who've kept the faith, kept looking up. Think of our brother Keith Charman, now in glory, and how God has helped and sustained Sheila and Paul. Keep praying for them and encouraging them. It's not been an easy year. And then just in the last couple of weeks, brother Phil Noakes lost his wife, Marie, died very suddenly. And Phil, our heart just goes out to you, but I honor your faith. Pray for you and your daughters, Angela and Jennifer, even from your presence here today, that God is with you. And God is a God who's with us in the hard times. 2024 may not be easy. Mary was told a sword will pierce your heart. But she had Anna come alongside and say, look, these things, God can be with you in them. She had Anna come alongside who had caused this to happen in her life in such a way that she pressed more deeply into God. In fact, it says in Luke chapter 2, it says that she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. What a great response to say, I'm going to press more into God in prayer and with fasting and in the presence of God's people. And, we're coming into the new year, and we're going to start our year with a week of prayer and fasting. We're going to have it from the 7th to the 14th, but you don't need to wait until the 7th of January to start praying and even fasting if you want to. But I encourage you, in that week, be preparing for it. Be preparing. Look online. We have details on our website and on the email, our weekly news email, about some wonderful times when we can gather, both in the mornings online, but in the evenings. We have three in-person prayer events, one on the 7th, one on the Wednesday, the 10th, and one on the 14th. And you can come and let's gather and let's seek God. And I encourage you to even now be thinking, what might it be that you fast from? How might you fast in that week? To say, as it were, a no to something, to say a bigger yes to God, to come and say, God, we need you, we want your face, and we want to seek you and know you more. That whole week is going to be about us growing as people of prayer, like Anna, people who then can come with a word of prayer. She was like the shepherd. She was one of the first evangelists, was Anna. She came and saw the child, and like Simeon, she gave thanks. But then look at her. She spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She spoke about Jesus. I love that song we sang earlier about, the guardian, about, speaking the words of Jesus, and even the one before. He's the savior of the world. This one that we know of, he is the one who gives us hope for the future. Whatever you or those around you might be facing, in Jesus, there is hope. And so I want to encourage us, even though, actually, look around at some of the babies. You know, Lucas, 8 days old some weeks back, still not much bigger some weeks later. I've spent a bit of time over Christmas with my niece, who's just over one now. She's not really talking yet. She's very cute. And I know I spent some time with some others who were like, six, seven, eight, and nine. They're still quite young. And actually, the next time we read about Jesus, it is only kind of one little story before then we read of his ministry later on in life. It took time, this redemption plan. God's mission strategy was a slow one, but it was working for the salvation of the entire world. Don't be discouraged when things you're longing and waiting for God to do, things about his redemption haven't yet happened. Maybe in your own lives or those you love, there's redeeming purposes of God yet to be worked out. Keep praying, keep waiting, keep looking for Jesus. For he is the Redeemer. He is my Redeemer, your Redeemer. He can be this one who came into our world, who died on that cross, that moment when it was like a sword piercing Mary's heart when she saw him die. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again, conquering death. So that even when we lose loved ones, even when we ourselves go through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil, for he is with us, our Redeemer. Amen? He is our hope. He is the one who means we can go forward with faith. And our words matter. Anna's words mattered. They built faith. This again is what Olivia says. She says, Anna's words matter. She builds faith and encourages those who are waiting. And in a society where women can't bear witness in court, as she is unreliable in those days, it was seen, Anna is a witness to the beginning of the redemption of the world, and she tells people about it. How cool is that? She is one who reminds us not to give up because God is at work in the waiting. Brothers and sisters, as you come into 2024, there might be something you're longing for, waiting for. Look to Jesus. Look at him afresh, as it were, gaze into him, the babe of Bethlehem, the one who came and died on a cross, the risen Lord. Gaze again and find faith for the new year, not that rests on your New Year's resolution, but faith that looks to the Redeemer, the one who is able to bring his redemption plan of making all things ultimately new and right one day. So maybe we could just pause. Got another question for you, and I'm going to give you just time in your seats now to do this. I'm going to invite the band to come back up. And I wonder, what are you still waiting for that you long for God to do, even in 2024? And how could God's faithfulness in the past build your faith for the year ahead? Just take some time, your pew. Band are going to start praying. I'm going to pray in a moment just to commit both the year past and the year ahead to the Lord. And then we'll have opportunity to worship and some of the prayer team out. But let's just be still. Maybe Jamie and the band could just have some instrumental music for us again. With that question on the screen, and even if you're watching at home, just take a few moments to just consider it. What are you still waiting for that you long for God to do? Even just tell him. Pour out your heart to him. And then allow all that we've been thinking of God's faithfulness to build faith for this year ahead. thank you for your faithfulness in years past. Lord, and we trust you for the year ahead. Lord, we long for you to work in redeeming power. Lord, we long pour out your Spirit afresh on us. Lord, work in our city to save many, we pray. Lord, work in those we know and love that they might find hope in Jesus. Lord, we trust you. And we look ahead now with faith in your mighty name. Amen.